You needing some encouragement this week? Tired of looking at what's going on out there in the world? Do you have anxiety? Well, we're going to dive into Psalm 55 today, one of the many psalms in scripture that Christians use to meditate on and get some more encouragement for their day, encouragement for the struggles they're going through with right now. So that is next on the Wounds of the Faithful podcast.
Welcome to the Wounds of the Faithful podcast, brought to you by DSW Ministries. Your host is singer, songwriter, speaker, and domestic violence advocate Diana Winkler. She is passionate about helping survivors in the church heal from domestic violence and abuse and trauma. This podcast is not a substitute for professional counseling or qualified medical help. Now, here is Diana.
Hey, friends, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today? Have you enjoyed our guests that have been on the podcast? We had Kirsten Samuels and Kelly Hall, who were super awesome guests. I enjoyed their conversation immensely. If you missed those interviews, please go back and listen to them. They really are helpful, along with fantastic. And while I'm lining up some other guests, I thought that we'd maybe take a little bit of a break from the dark stuff. And I have been thinking about doing the Psalms for quite a while. So whenever I don't have a guest, I'm going to pick a Psalm that I think would be encouraging, and we'll go over that. I'm not really going to go in order. There's 150 Psalms. I'm not going to do all of them. I will just pick one at random that I think would be good to talk about. And hopefully you'll get some nuggets of encouragement, wisdom, strength from that to survive your week. Speaking of surviving, I am in the middle of a colonoscopy prep today for a routine screening tomorrow. And you're thinking, oh, that's TMI, Diana. I'm not going to go into any details, I promise, but I'm in healthcare, and so I encourage people to get their screenings. I have some relatives who shall not be named who do not get their health screenings. Will not get a colonoscopy, will not get a mammogram, will not all the way down the list for whatever reason. These are important tests. I know they're not fun to do. The prep is what everybody talks about. The actual procedure is easy because you're asleep for that. But here's a tip, because most people hate the prep stuff you have to drink the day before. Ask to do the Miralax prep. You take Miralax with some clear Gatorade and then a couple tablets of Dulcolax laxative. The Miralax is flavorless. All you taste is the Gatorade, and I've experienced much less discomfort, and it's very easy to swallow and complete the preparations. Brian has to do one every 2 years, and this is what he uses. So that is free for those of you out there that do their screenings. Colon cancer is a silent killer, so by the time you are seeing problems, it's usually too late. So that's why they tell you to get screened. If you get stuff early, you have a much higher chance of surviving. Now we have much more medical advancements. Anyway, enough of the health bulletin. Couple housekeeping things. It's been a while since I've mentioned some people that have subscribed to the YouTube channel. Let's see, Carol DeLuca. Donut E, I Love My Boyfriend, Denitra Mack, and another name that was in Arabic, so I could not pronounce it. But welcome to everyone who subscribed to the channel, wherever you are in the world. I appreciate the subscribe, and I'm hoping that you will enjoy the content that I have for you. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that we have a Facebook group for the podcast. It's a private group. It is called the Wounds of the Faithful podcast private group. So it's just a place for us to talk about the episodes, get to know you better, make some friends, but it will be without the trolls. So go search for it in Facebook. I look forward to talking with you guys. So we are going to Psalm 55. I wanted to give a little bit of background because not everybody that listens to the podcast knows everything about the Bible. I don't know everything, but I've had some questions in the past about certain books or why the Bible is organized a certain way. I won't go into all that today, but I will give you a little background as to what are the Psalms. Well, basically, the Psalms are a collection of songs and poems, and a lot of songs that we sing in church come from the book of Psalms. A lot of the authorship is Moses and King David, and then some authors in there that are unnamed. And so with David's Psalms, you're going to hear a lot of his emotions and his anguish and his doubts and fears. He's a real person, and you're probably going to relate to a lot of what he says in the Psalms because we go through the same exact thing. So let's talk about King David a little bit because, again, I'm not going to assume that everybody knows who King David is. David was a shepherd boy in Israel, and he became Israel's third king. So he was the youngest of seven sons. So he was the baby, and his father's name was Jesse. And David was from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. David was a musician. So half of the Psalms are attributed to David. David, of course, was a great warrior. Now, even if you know nothing about David, everybody's heard of David and Goliath. And he was the boy who defeated the giant Philistine, Goliath, with a slingshot and a rock. God names David as a man after his own heart, but David was far from perfect. David has a lot of faults, a lot of flaws as a human being. And the prophet Samuel anointed him and said that God has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel. Many people think that David was Israel's greatest king. Now, I have an opinion that Josiah was even better than David. I like Josiah a lot. This is another story that if you don't know anything about David, you've heard of David and Bathsheba. David was king and he raped Bathsheba and she became pregnant. David killed her husband, Uriah. He had it arranged so he would die in battle to cover up the rape and the child. The prophet Nathan knew exactly what was going on, and he told David that because of your sin, your child is going to die. And the child did die. And even though he was repentant, there were consequences for his sin, which Psalm 51 reflects his humility and his repentance. You can definitely read that. It's one of my favorite Psalms. He had at least eight wives and countless concubines as a king. So, but David had a lot of enemies. King Saul wanted to kill him, and that is a lot of what the Psalms talk about, is he's in hiding, he's running from his pursuers, which are usually either King Saul or his son Absalom. Most scholars believe that Psalm 55 is when Absalom was trying to take his throne and he left fearing for his life. We know that Psalm 54 was when King Saul was pursuing him. So that's pretty scary times. And so we're going to be talking about that, what his feelings are and his trauma that he experienced. David, you're going to read about on most of the Psalms that I picked. I'm just summarizing. There's a lot more to David that we could talk about, but it's always good to have a background. So in your Bible, you might see like a little heading on the top of the psalm. It usually tells you who the psalm is from. What kind of psalm is it? So the title on here, to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. So again, a lot of these were songs that people sang in worship, and this is from David. Let's read Psalm 55, verses 1 through 3. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. So David is in hiding. And in David's prayer, you can really sense that he felt that God was distant, as if he were hiding from David. And he asked God to hear his prayers. Attend to my needs, God. David believed that he could face almost anything if he knew that God was there. As long as God is with me, I can take this. We may not always feel his presence for one reason or another. He is always there. I think that anything that distorts the voice of God, that destroys a person. Why do we study the Bible as abuse survivors? It's because we want to know the real God, not the God that man made up. Am I right? So I think that the book of Psalms is a beautiful gift. And we're going to see how God's word speaks to those who have been abused. Maybe in another episode, I'll make a list of all the verses in the Psalms that relate to those that have been abused. It might take some time, so hold on for that. But the first three verses here, you know, a lot of people don't listen to the cries of those that are oppressed. They're ignored. They're dismissed. Maybe that's you. But no, by reading the psalm, you'll find out that you can bring this pain to God and confident that he hears you and that he cares. So this psalm seems to emphasize one enemy. Maybe towards the end, he talks about enemies in general, but he's talking about the oppression of the wicked. They hated David and they caused him a lot of trouble. It was not easy for him. Let's go to verses 4 through 8. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. Oh, I said that I had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Well, there's some really strong language there. Anguish, terrors, fear and trembling, horror. How many times do you read the word horror in the Bible? But, I mean, David had some real mental anguish here. I mean, he has the real danger of imminent death. Some real pain here. Yeah, an anxiety attack. It's almost like, you know, darkness that wraps around you, kind of like a big cloak or blanket. He had this expectation that he was going to be killed within the hour. We have doves here in our backyard. They're not as frequent to visit my yard since I now have three cats back there. But I do still see them here in the desert, and they're very skittish. They are afraid of everything, and they fly away at a second's notice. But they know where to hide when the storms come. They have secret places and safe places. We want to feel safe. That is very important for abuse survivors, to feel safe with people, with a place where you sleep, at work, walking down the street. That is huge. And David wished that he could just escape this terror-filled situation. Now, in that culture especially, it would have been more honorable for him to ask for more strength instead of for the wings of a dove to fly away. You ever hear that saying, don't ask for an easy life, ask to be made stronger? I dislike that. I'm honest here with you. I don't want to be stronger. I want an easy life. Yes, I try to work out and increase my physical fitness or endurance, what have you, but I would wish for an easy life. My life has not been easy. up to this point. As you already have experienced yourself, it's one thing after the other. You finish one trial and you go into another trial a lot of times without even a break. But as we see here in scripture, you can say these things to God. You can say, I just want to escape. I want to get out of here. There's nothing wrong with escaping. So you are in danger. God gives us healthy fear to get out of a dangerous situation. There are some spiritual giants in the Bible that did hide. Elijah's one of them. He went to go hide in a cave. We talked about that on previous interviews. Sometimes you have to withstand it, like Jeremiah, like Daniel. Sometimes you have no choice but to hunker down and weather the storm. You know, the rest of us have to stand our posts. Storms have come. We don't have a means of escaping just yet. In an abusive situation, many times it's, I don't have the funds to escape. I don't have a place to go. That's a reality. But God understands this desire for a safe place and offers himself as refuge. God is our refuge, regardless of what's going on around us. Let's read verses 9 through 11 next here. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words. For I see violence and strife in this city. Day and night they prowl on about its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. So here there was some sort of attack on David that was serious enough to endanger his life. And he's praying that God would divide those who spoke against him. David's strong words remove the vague language about abuse. He describes violence and strife, iniquity and trouble, oppression and fraud, blood and treachery. This really reveals the horror of oppression and abuse. There's no sugarcoating it here. David calls for God to destroy his enemies, to see evil punished by God. Every sin will be accounted for judgment for the unrepentant abuser. So with, especially in Christian circles, they push the survivors to quickly forgive. And this is not lining up with scripture. Now, the Bible does tell us not to seek revenge on your enemies, but not seeking revenge is different than forgiving your abuser. And we've talked about this countless times on the podcast. God does not forgive somebody that's not repentant. You will not find it in scripture. God requires repentance. What does that mean? It means turning the other way, going the other direction, changing your mind about your behavior. It's not just saying you're sorry, but demonstrating that you've changed. Now, God knows if we've changed or not, so most of the outward conformity would be for those of us that can't see inside our hearts. But here we're seeing that it's okay to ask God to destroy our enemies. We have to pray for our enemies. You see that in the New Testament, Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for them. But it doesn't say that we can't ask God to punish them. I mean, people walk the city day and night causing trouble for David. The crisis at hand was not just a problem for David, but people in general, God's people. So there's a quote from Spurgeon that says, "The city, the holy city, has become a den of wickedness. Conspirators met in the dark and talked in little knots in the streets, even in broad daylight." And sometimes we want justice now. We want the perpetrator to go to jail. We want them to suffer. We want them to die. Sometimes that happens. Other times you have to wait for that justice. Sometimes the justice will be an eternity. They are not going to get away with anything. And we've talked about this before. Nobody likes the concept of hell. Well, I don't believe that God would send somebody to hell. Yeah, but at the same time, out of people's mouths, they want justice for themselves, for their loved ones. They want the drunk driver to go to prison. They want the person who murdered somebody in cold blood. They want them executed. They want life in prison for somebody that assaulted their family member. So why is it hard to imagine that there is a place for perfect justice and the eternity. Perfect justice, an all-knowing, all-powerful God who knows exactly what happened and who is innocent and who is guilty, dishes out the judgment accordingly. It's not like prison today where there are innocent people that are sent to prison. That's not going to be the case. Innocent people will not be going to hell. God knows our hearts. So I don't want to sit on that too long because this is supposed to be an encouraging podcast episode. But it does come up in conversation. I want justice now. Sometimes we have to wait a little while for that justice to come through, but it will happen. So let's go on to verse 12 through 14. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walked about among the worshipers. So let's stop and talk about that. This person who betrayed him is a close friend. So the pain of abuse usually is committed by somebody known to the victim, a relative, a neighbor, a friend, somebody in the position of authority. That's a real reality here. Back in the 80s, 90s, it was, you know, stranger danger. Don't talk to strangers. Whereas the real truth lies that most people are abused as children by somebody they know, myself included. Yeah, I was able to run away from stranger danger and not get into cars that somebody offered me candy to come into a car. That was a big deal. We knew better than that, but you all know about the guidance counselor in the seventh grade. That was the one who lured me in, who gained my trust. We were very close. He was a counselor. I trusted him. I thought he was my friend. And he betrays me. He abuses me. So this is where David is. He's in this predicament because of something his friend did to him. Maybe told somebody where he was hiding. I don't know. It doesn't say, but what is more painful than a friend that betrays you? And I agree with David. I can deal with somebody I don't know betraying me. Yeah, I can sue them. I can kick their butt, you know, whatever. But your friends, your inner circle, and David describes it very well. Hey, we went to church together and walked around during the worship service. Do you have a friend like that? You enjoyed sweet fellowship. This wasn't just a casual relationship. It was very close. So what else does it say here? Let's read the rest of it. Verse 15. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. So a lot more description here. He prays three times a day. He's crying out in distress. And David is comforted that God hears his voice. And it says that God does not change. I hear a lot of talk back about that. Oh, he changes a lot of things. Well, his methods change, but his character does not change. He is always a holy God. He is always a loving God. He's omniscient, meaning everywhere. He is all powerful. He wants to save his people. Those things don't change. God always gives us time to change our ways, to repent, give us time to believe. God is merciful, long-suffering. Those are the attributes of God that we hold to. Those things don't change. And the promise is that those that don't fear God, that are enemies of God, are going to be punished. Maybe not today, but they will in the end. So apparently this friend violated his covenant, whatever covenant that was. His talk is smooth as butter. Wow. Those word pictures are strong there. We know what that is. Yet war is in his heart. Whew. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. We've all been the recipient of, we call it two-faced, or maybe passive-aggressive is the modern term. They say something directly to your face, but behind the scenes, they're talking about you behind your back. They're spreading false things about you, gossip. In this context, they're hiding a sword behind their back. They're stirring up war. Today, you can definitely stir up war. There's wars going on right now. The words that you say are important. They can give life or they can make people's lives very miserable. But, you know, even though David is deeply wounded, it's a prayer that leaves vengeance to God. And David refused to take vengeance himself, which is what we should live our lives too. We let God take care of the dirty work. Breaking covenants, breaking contracts was a big deal in those days. You break a contract or a covenant with another nation or another leader, yeah, you are in danger, and then your family and descendants were in danger because they see that as a binding covenant or contract. But David is not going to come up with counterplots or start violence against them in direct opposition to his enemies' godless behavior. He would just resort to his God in constant prayer. And I'm sure the battle continued, but even though many were still against him, Saul was in peace. Yeah, I mean, David's enemy was dishonorable. I wish that David would have named him, but that kind of shows David's integrity during this time as well. Our burdens that we carry, we may carry them ourselves to our undoing. To our undoing, or we can cast them on God. That is our choice sometimes. And a lot of name it and claim it people, if you do all these things, and if you demand stuff from God, then you're going to get it. God's going to do it. If you're following all the rules, you're never going to have any problems. You're never going to experience hardship. You're in a church like that, around a group of people like that, those are lies. The Bible never promises that you will be without conflict or suffering or trials or burdens. If you have a heartbeat in your breathing, you're going to have problems, guaranteed. If you are a follower of God, it guarantees that you are going to suffer persecution sometime in your lifetime. Some of you that are listening, you're experiencing that persecution right now. You don't have freedom of religion. You have to hide your faith in public places. You have to worship in secret. That is a reality for many parts of the world. We, as Americans, North American countries, we have pretty generous freedom of religion. And we have folks that think that persecution is somebody slamming the door in your face when you go knock on people's doors to hand them an invitation to church. No, try again. Persecution is your life is in danger. Your job was taken away. Your children were taken. You go to prison. It will be persecution. You are slandered against, reviled against, gossiped against. You are innocent of any wrongdoing. For the sake of being a Christian, we've talked about this before, persecution is not being a jerk and forcing your beliefs, viewpoints, and opinions on other people. That's not persecution. So verses 22 and 23, we're coming to the end of this psalm. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. So God's promises are not that you'll have an easy, carefree life. The promise of God is that he will sustain you. He will give you strength to sustain, to endure when you have to. If you're able to escape, then escape. you're not going to hear on my podcast that you should not leave an abusive relationship. You need help with that? I have many resources to help you with that. Taking that step to get out of danger, it's not easy. I'm not going to pretend it is. It's not easy to leave the abuser. I've done it. Hardest thing I ever did. But God did sustain me through that. He gave me the knowledge, the wisdom, the strength, the support, resources, and I want to be here for you. So reach out to me if you need assistance. I have a huge network of resources at my disposal to help you. So wrapping up here, this comment here from Morgan's commentary, fear leads only to desire to flee. Fury only emphasizes the consciousness of the wrong. Faith alone creates courage. I like that. Faith alone creates courage. Courage is doing what you know you have to do, even when you're afraid. Sometimes that's hiding. Sometimes it's fighting. Sometimes it's retreating. But the psalm ends with David's focus upon God and not his enemies. Abuse is a common reality for many of you. And God offers a hope for survivors of abuse. It's not a quick fix. If you know me long enough, there aren't any quick fixes to abuse. Even healing from abuse is a long journey. It's been a long journey for me. Each person's journey is different. Yours may be dramatically different from mine, but still valid. God will supply the redemption and the restoration that comes through Jesus, who bore all the shame, all the abuse, the helplessness, the hopelessness for you. I'll end with a prophet, Isaiah, who suffered greatly. We talked about him in a previous episode. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains. That's Isaiah 53:4. That's a messianic psalm, in fact. So be comforted in Psalm 55. You can read on your own when you need a little bit of encouragement. So I hope that you enjoyed this. Stay tuned for some other psalms that we'll do in between guests. If you have a favorite psalm that you would like me to do on the podcast, please reach out to me by email or social media. Or if you're joining the Facebook group, you can put it on there as well. So until next week on the podcast, bless you. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Wounds of the Faithful podcast. If this episode has been helpful to you, please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend. You can connect with us at dswministries.org, where you'll find our blog along with our Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel links. Hope to see you next week.